Let's open in our Bibles to the book of Exodus again tonight and to chapter 30 and verse 17. We continue our series looking at the tabernacle, and we actually come tonight to the last piece of furniture that we'll be studying, not the last sermon. We do have one more next week that we'll be looking at, and that'll bring the completion of our series. But tonight we have the last piece of furniture as we look at the bronze basin for washing. And so we see this here in Exodus 30, verses 17 to 21. So let's read God's Word, and may He bless us as we study it together this evening. Exodus 30 and verse 17. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "You shall also make a laver of bronze, with its base also of bronze, for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet in water from it. When they go into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord, they shall wash with water, lest they die. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die, and it shall be a statute forever to them, to him and his descendants, throughout their generations." There ends the reading of God's Word. Well, as I think many of you know, my oldest son has recently started a school at Lighthouse Christian Academy, and like most schools, LCA has a dress code. Now, for boys, a dress code's not usually an issue, but we have found ourselves reviewing this dress code because in it, it says that you may not have holes in your pants. And I don't know about your young boys, but I don't think mine has many pairs, if any pairs, of pants without holes in them. Well, as we've looked at this dress code, there's another part of it, another rule, if you will, that has also struck us. And that is, your clothes must be clean. And we take that for granted, but it's actually in the code. Your clothes must be clean. And it didn't strike us because our son's clothes are always dirty, and we want to send him to school with dirty clothes. It struck us because it made us realize that if you are to be a student at this school, you have to be clean, but also you have to remain clean. And it reminds us very much of what we see in our passage this evening, because as we look at the bronze basin for washing, God is making a very similar point. If we are to be in His presence and not die, we need to be clean, but we also need to remain clean. And so as we study this final piece of furniture this evening, let us learn from it that as a sinner, you need to be and continue to be cleansed by God in Jesus Christ. Therefore, be cleansed by Him and live a clean life of service for Him. So as a sinner, you need to be and continue to be cleansed by God in Jesus Christ. Therefore, be cleansed by Him and live a clean life of service for Him. Well, let's look at the text now. So as usual, we'll begin by looking at the details, and we see that in the courtyard of the tabernacle was a bronze basin for washing. And if you look at your outline, I didn't have a picture of the bronze basin by itself, so I gave you the picture of the tabernacle in the courtyard where you can see the bronze basin in the courtyard and where it was located, so feel free to look at that tonight. But looking here at the details in Exodus 30, we see in verse 18, God saying to Moses, "You shall also make a laver of bronze with its base also of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it." So adding to the many other pieces of furniture at the tabernacle that we've already looked at, here God says there's also to be a laver. Boys and girls, a laver is a basin, a big bowl, if you will, or bucket. And it was to be made of two separate parts, God says. There was the basin itself, and then the stand upon which the basin would sit. And together, they were to be made of bronze. Now, interestingly, if you look at Exodus 38, verse 8, you don't have to turn there now, we're told that the bronze that was used for the basin actually came from many of the mirrors, the bronze mirrors of the women who served at the tabernacle. They didn't have glass back then, so they would polish metal, in this case bronze, and that would be your mirror. And so these women donated their mirrors, and that was formed into this probably shiny and polished basin as well. And inside the basin was to be water, God says. That's its primary purpose, to be a tub full of water. Now, interestingly enough, unlike the rest of the furniture, God doesn't tell us something here that He tells us about the other things. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but He doesn't tell us the size. There are no measurements here, no cubits. We've talked a lot about cubits, at least we've read about cubits in the past. Here, God doesn't tell us that. Now, maybe that means God left it up to Moses to decide the size. Maybe that means God told Moses, but He didn't put it in the Scriptures for us to know. We don't know. What we know is there was to be a basin made of bronze to be full of water. Now, if you look at verse 18 again, God also says where the basin was to be located. It would be in the courtyard between the front door of the tabernacle tent and the bronze altar of burnt offering. That would be at the first thing you would see when you came in to the courtyard. And again, if you look at your picture, that's exactly where you'll find it. And then in verses 19 to 21, God tells us why there was to be this basin. And as we see here, it was for Aaron and his sons, the priests who would minister at the tabernacle, to wash their hands and their feet. We're not told how they would do that. So some have said that there were little taps built in, faucets of sorts, in the actual basin, and they could use that to bring out the water. Sounds interesting. It seems like if that's something God wanted, He would have put it in the directions. So most likely, the priest would take a jug of water, dip it into the basin, and use that to pour over their hands and their feet to wash them. And notice when they were to wash their hands and feet. When they entered the tabernacle tent, and or when they offered a sacrifice on the bronze altar of burnt offering. So as often as they did these things, Aaron and his sons were to first wash their hands and their feet from this bronze basin. And like all the other furniture pieces, this too is a picture for us of Jesus Christ and of His salvation, what He has done for us. And so what in particular does it teach us? Well, as we see, secondly, it teaches you that as a sinner, you need to be cleansed by God in Jesus Christ. And so let's look again here at verses 19 to 21. God says, it's for Aaron and his sons. They shall wash their hands and feet in water from it when they go into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord. They shall wash with water, lest they die. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. And the question we should be asking ourselves now is, why were they to wash their hands and their feet? And if you think about it, specifically if you think about where they were at the time, it should be pretty obvious why they were to wash their hands and feet. Because they were dirty. As they lived in the wilderness, they would often have dirt on their hands and dirt on their feet. And since their hands and feet were the primary body parts they would use to minister to the Lord, hands to handle the sacrifices and to touch the other elements of their priestly duties, as well as feet to walk inside the holy tent of the tabernacle, they couldn't be dirty hands and feet. They were to be clean hands and feet. And so in order for that filth to be washed away from them, in order to make them clean, they had to be washed in the water from the basin. Because if they didn't, what would happen? You know, we've seen this. We've seen God mentioning this before. What's He say? They will die. In fact, He highlights that for us twice. Look again at the text, verse 20. He says that they are to do this lest they die. Then in verse 21, He recaps it again by saying, so they shall wash their hands and their feet lest they die. He's making it abundantly clear here. To not be cleansed by the water would lead to their deaths. And that really helps us understand that God's talking about something a lot bigger than just some dirt on your hands and feet. Because if the consequence is death, certainly it can't just be some dust from the desert. And of course we realize it's not the physical dirt that's the problem, it's the spiritual dirt. It's their sins. Because it's ultimately their sins, not the dirt, that keeps them from ministering in the Lord's presence. And so really, it's from their sins that they're to be cleansed. And you see, that's what God designed the bronze basin to symbolize. given you a quote from commentator Philip Ryken. He says, the physical washing was a sign of spiritual cleansing. It was a sign of spiritual cleansing. And so God had them wash before coming into His presence, because for them to be in His presence, they could not be dirty. They had to be clean. That reminds us of what the Bible says elsewhere about all humanity, even about ourselves. Namely, as the children of Adam, we are all dirty in our sins by nature. Paul, in Ephesians 5, verse 5, he describes humanity outside of Christ. And he says, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Being children of Adam by nature, we're unclean in and of ourselves. Therefore, we too need to be cleansed of our dirt, forgiven of our sins, lest we perish. And you see, God is the one who provided this basin. God is the one who commanded them to wash in the basin. Why? Because God is the one who's ultimately cleansing them. And so it is for us. If we are to be cleansed, we can't clean ourselves. God must cleanse us. And that means, first of all, we need to be regenerated by God. Paul says in Titus 3:5 that it's not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. As God says in Ezekiel 36, we need the Lord to sprinkle clean water on us to make us clean. We need Him to cleanse us from all our unfilthiness. And so that means we need Him to give us a new heart, to put a new spirit within us, to take the heart of stone out of us and give us a heart of flesh. Because when He does that, Ezekiel says, God gives us His Spirit so that we will walk in His statutes. Or as Paul says in Titus 3:5, it's through the washing of regeneration that we are saved, that we are converted to the Lord. Because when He washes us, when He regenerates us, what is He doing? He's enabling us to see the filth of our sin. He's enabling us. He's opening our eyes to see our need for a Savior and how we need to come to Him. And so He leads us to grieve our sin, to turn away from our sin, to go to the Lord and to go to Him with faith in Christ, trusting that it's in Christ we are cleansed. Because what does God say? It's by the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us of our sin. 1 John 1:7. Friends, that is what every single one of us needs. We are all dirty. Being a parent, one of your responsibilities is to make sure that your kids are clean. This is especially the case with young kids, although I think it's the case for older kids as well. Because the kids often don't realize that they need to be clean. They don't see the built-up earwax. They don't see the dirt on the cheeks. They don't see the greasy hair. We see these things. And so we're the ones who have to come to the child and lovingly tell them, sweetheart, I think you need to take a bath. Now, we're all laughing, but the Bible says that we are all like children in this way as it pertains to our sin. We don't think we need a bath. We are naturally blind to our sin. And yet here God gives us the bronze basin. He gave it to teach the Israelites this and to teach us this. You are not clean. I am not clean. I need to be clean. I need to be washed. And so we all do by God. Have you come to see the filth of your sins? Boys and girls, this is for you too. Have you come to see that you are dirty, sinfully, maybe not physically, but sinfully dirty? And have you come to realize and to believe you need God to wash away those sins through the blood of Jesus Christ? Well, that means also that if you are a believer, you're not dirty anymore. You're clean. Do you realize that? That if you're a believer this evening, God has graciously given you the washing of regeneration that leads to the washing of salvation. And so in the eyes of God, what does He see? He does not see the spots of sin upon you, but He sees perfect cleanliness. sins never to be held against you, never to perish for them, but entirely forgiven. Thanks to the one, as John says in Revelation 1:5, who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. So as a sinner, you need to be cleansed by God. That's what the labor teaches us. If you're a believer, you have been cleansed by God. That's what the labor reminds us of. And yet, that does not mean that there's no further need for cleansing from God. And so as we see, thirdly, as a sinner, you need to continually be cleansed by God in Jesus Christ as well. Now, we need to be careful here, because this does not mean that the first cleansing was insufficient, nor does it mean that we need to keep being converted to God. But what the bronze teaches us is that even though we have been cleansed at conversion, there's still a cleansing we need as God's people. Remember, the priests were not just to wash their hands and feet one time. They were to wash their hands and feet every time they went into the tabernacle tent or offered a sacrifice on the altar. I've given you a quote from commentator Douglas Stewart, who says, "Any priest bringing a sacrifice to the altar or entering the holy place for any reason would have had to wash each time, not just at the beginning of a day's service, but throughout the day, each separate time he ministered at the altar or within the tent." And if you think about how often this would happen, they would be washing their hands and feet multiple times a day. So this was not a one-time occasion. This was a regular part of their service to God, a continual washing of their hands and feet. Again, lest they die, God says. And we'll come back to that. Now, to be precise, the washings here mentioned in our passage do not technically symbolize the priest's initial cleansing, as Daniel Hyde puts it, or their conversion, their salvation. That was symbolized back at their consecration as priests. We've looked at that a handful of weeks ago. What we actually see described for us this evening is what the priests were to do after their initial washing. I don't know about you, but I take my shower first thing in the morning. That may be too much information. That's fine. But even though I do take my shower first thing in the morning, and I don't have to take another shower again, I still find myself washing my hands multiple times throughout the day. Because even though I may not need another bath, my hands need another cleansing. And so too, the priests were to keep washing their hands and feet, even though their bodies were clean, if you will, because their hands and feet would still get dirty as they went about their daily business. Symbolically speaking, even though they had been completely cleansed of their sins, forgiven of them by God, they would still commit sins. And so they needed to be daily cleansed of those sins they were still committing, even though they had been fully cleansed. And that's true for us as well. As believers, we still sin against God. So our bodies may be clean, but our hands and feet still get dirty, if you will. And so we need to be cleansed of those sins every day, maybe even multiple times a day. Put it another way, having been completely cleansed from the guilt of our sin, we still need to be daily cleansed from the corruption or the pollution of our sin. Having been completely cleansed from the guilt of our sin, we still need to be daily cleansed from the corruption of our sin. And when you look at the Word of God, this continual cleansing that we still need comes in at least two parts. First, we need the continual cleansing of confession. The continual cleansing of confession. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." John here is not just talking about confessing your sins for the first time. He's talking about a continual life of confession. Right, that as you realize you've sinned against the Lord, you are to come to Him, tell Him what you've done, acknowledge the sinfulness of your sin, and plead for His mercy in Jesus Christ. And not just a general confession at the end of the day, but a particular confession of particular sins. Why? Because John says here, confessing our sins to God is one of the key ways that the Lord continues to cleanse us. Again, not that the first cleansing is insufficient, but there still is this second cleansing that we need. And so daily, At every instance of sin that we know about, we need to cry out with David, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Psalm 51, verse 2. We need to be continually cleansed through confession. But secondly, we also need the continual cleansing of the Word. Of the Word. Paul says in Ephesians 5, 25 and 26, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word." So here we're told by Paul that Jesus died for us so that He could sanctify us and make us clean from our sins. Or as he goes on to say in verse 27, that He might present us to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that we should be holy and without blemish. That this is one of the reasons Jesus died for us. Not just to cleanse us from the guilt of our sin, but to cleanse us from the corruption of our sin. That we would be holy in our actual motives, our actual thoughts and words and deeds. And notice the instrument by which He accomplishes this cleansing in our lives. Paul says it's with the washing of water by the Word. The Scriptures. They are the soap and washcloth, if you will, that the Lord uses to rid the filth of sin from our everyday living. And so for us to grow in purity and holiness, to be continually cleansed of our daily sins, we need to be in the Word of God. We need to be reading the Bible, meditating on the Bible, memorizing the Bible. We need to be taught from the Bible. Are you coming to Sunday school, for instance? Most of all, we need to hear and receive the preaching of the Bible and apply it to our lives. Not because it's magic. It is not magic. But because the Spirit of Christ uses the Bible to cleanse us from our sins and to make us holy. We sang from Psalm 119, verse 9, just a few minutes ago. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. So not only do we need the initial cleansing of our sin, but we need a continual cleansing through confession and the Scriptures. Because what does God say will happen if we aren't continually cleansed? We'll die. We'll die. Remember, when God warned the priests of this in our passage, He was not speaking directly of their initial cleansing. He's speaking directly about their continual cleansing in particular. And the same thing is true for us. Not because our continual cleansing saves us or plays a part in our salvation. Please hear that. That's not the point. But because our continual cleansing is the evidence of our having received an initial cleansing. This is what John means when he says in 1 John 3:10, "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God." After instituting the Lord's Supper, what did Jesus do? He rose from the table and He began to wash the feet of His disciples. I trust you're at least vaguely familiar with this passage in John 13. And so He took a bucket of water and He took a towel and He began washing their feet. But when He came to Peter, Peter thought it was too low of a thing for the Lord to wash His feet. And so do you remember what Peter said to Jesus? He said, "Lord, are You washing my feet? You shall never wash my feet." And we may have said something similar, but do you remember Jesus' response to Peter? He said, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Now, when we read those words, I think our minds immediately think He's talking about our initial washing, our salvation. But if you look closely, He's talking about our continual washing. Because when Peter went on to say, "Then Lord, wash not only my feet, but my hands and my head also," Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean." You see what's going on here? Peter wanted his whole body to be washed by Jesus, not just his feet, but Jesus would not do that. Why? Because Peter had already been bathed. He had already had his full body washed, and now all he needed was the washing of his feet. And if he did not receive that, Jesus says he would have no part with him.
Brothers and sisters, that should get our attention. That should wake us up. If we claim to have received the initial washing of salvation, we need to make sure we are also receiving the continual washing of sanctification. Not because the continual washing is meritorious in our salvation, not at all, but because the one necessarily leads to the other. Matthew Henry says, "See what ought to be the daily care of those who through grace are in a justified state, and that is to wash their feet, to cleanse themselves from the guilt they contract daily through infirmity and inadvertence by the renewed exercise of repentance with a believing application of the virtue of Christ's blood." We need to be cleansed, and we need to be continually cleansed. And thanks be to God, we can receive that cleansing in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, the only one who is perfectly clean, became fully dirty for us, so that through His becoming dirty, we too might become clean. "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us," Paul says, "that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." And so, receiving that cleansing in Jesus Christ, what are we now to do? Well, as we see, fourthly, we are to live a clean life of service to God. Remember, this is why Aaron and his sons were to continually wash their hands and feet in the basin, so that being cleansed, they could then go on to serve God in holiness as His priests at the tabernacle. Right, that was the purpose for it. And as those being cleansed by God today, it is for that very same purpose. We read in Hebrews 9, verses 13 to 14, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God," He was clean, "cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." That's why God is washing you, so that you would serve Him entirely. And one way we can do that is by living clean lives. By living clean lives. You know, as we look at the Scriptures, we find many passages that talk about God cleansing us from our sins. And that's true. That's what we've been talking about up to this point. But there are also a handful of passages that tell us to cleanse ourselves from our sins. And by that, God's not calling us to do the work we've previously discussed. He's telling us that having been cleansed and continuing to be cleansed by Him, we now need to live as those who are clean, not dirty. Instead of walking in the filth of sin just to dirty ourselves again, we need to remain in the purity of holiness. As a family with small children, our van, and you may have experienced this personally, is often a dirty place. There's food and crumbs on the seat. You will find toys on the floor. You will find fingerprints, even some stickers on the windows. It's generally a messy place. And so when we actually take the time to clean out the van, we then try very hard to keep it clean. Because for one, we like the feeling of it being clean. It looks good. But also because we know what it took for it to be clean in the first place. Brothers and sisters, your being clean in Jesus, like a spotless van, should cause you to stay clean. Because for one, you know how good it looks, as it were, and you should want to keep it that way. But also because you know what it took for you to be clean in the first place. That it didn't just take an hour of vacuuming out the seats. It took the life and the death of the Son of God for you. And so being cleansed in Him and knowing what it took, what do we see in the bronze basin? Serve the Lord by working to keep yourselves clean. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. As a sinner, you need to be and continue to be cleansed by God in Jesus Christ. Therefore, be cleansed by Him and live a clean life of service for Him. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we do ask that, Lord, You would show us the filth of our sin this evening. That, Lord, You would draw us to realize the cleansing we need from Christ, whether it's the initial cleansing of conversion or whether it's the continual cleansing of sanctification. But, Lord, we need that as You have taught us here in the Bronze Basin. And we thank You that in Jesus Christ there is a washing to be found every second of every day. And so we pray that we would be those who constantly look to Christ, recognizing our sin and trusting in Him, asking for forgiveness and pardon and for removal of wickedness from within us, that we would perfect holiness in the fear of God. Lord, help us to live clean lives by the power of Christ, the One who is clean and yet became dirty for us. Lord, change our hearts and make us clean, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.